Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. I am so blessed and so honored to have with me tonight Deborah Smart, who's actually going to talk to us about publishing books and her story. And I find that fitting tonight, as I do my own personal journey, because I want to share with you, I just signed on with a publisher today, a small publishing house called Seven Publishing, and they're based out of Los Angeles. I have a long-running history with them, and so we are going to see what they can do for me. I also got a call from a huge publisher, but they wanted to do a huge fee, too, and so I'm like, no, and so hopefully at Christmas time I can get myself away from publishing and being with these smaller publishing houses. Too big thought. So universe, I hope you're listening, because that is my wish. That is my birthday wish / my Christmas wish, to be traditionally published by the end of 2016. Because as you know, I'm going back to college and getting my PhD in special education. And we're working on that right now. And every book that I sell is going towards the win getting her PhD fund. Thank you very much. Because with self-publishing, you can basically set your own prices. But enough about me. Let's bring on my desk.
Deborah.
Good
Hi,
afternoon.
This is Deborah.
How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm so excited about what's coming up in your future.
Well, thank you. And that leads me to my first question. Why did you start all this?
Why did I start all this? I ask that question over and over again sometimes when I'm in the middle of a mess. But I started writing at a very young age. I was a middle child, and I had a lot of time on my hand. I was born in 1950, which means this year I reached a golden age of 65. And being the middle child, I had a really creative mind. My surprise for you, Wynn, is that my younger brother, who was 3 years younger than I, he was born with cerebral palsy.
Oh, my.
And I had to, that's right, so I had to learn how to adjust to having someone who couldn't keep up with me. You know, I had my two older brothers, and I was really looking for a sister to play with.
I bet you. Okay, this is going to be, where's the teaching box? Now, this is going to be very interesting thing to build, because you have to learn how to stop and smell the roses.
That's exactly
and
right.
That's what I've been trying to explain to people this whole week, is you have to keep up with me, otherwise we're not going to get along. And that's why I did what I did today. I signed on with the small end of publishing, Seven Publishing, because I'm like, if I'm going fast and furious and people send to me, I can't keep up with you. You send the amount of emails, you say you want all this to happen, and it's like, hello, I have to make myself productive. I can't just be sitting around. So that's why I decided to do what I do. But getting back to your story is very similar to mine, whereas you had a lot of time on your hands. because your parents were taking care of the other kids with, and the one with the cerebral palsy.
That's right. I was one of five. And one of the things I do want to say about you going with the smaller publishing company, and this is for anyone who's looking to write their book for the first time, or aspiring writers, if you have a book out there, really find the place where you're comfortable, you know, because you can move too quickly or you can move too slowly, you know, so really, yeah. You really need a yeah. mentor to help you along that process. My brother Eric was an inspiration to me. When he was born, the doctor had said that he, and I'm quite sure when you heard this, your mom probably told you this, that he would not be able to do this, he would not be able to do that. Well, my brother is 63 right. years old. He is a minister in Georgia. He is the father of three and grandfather of 11. So my brother is an inspiration, and that's where my faith comes from, watching what God has done in his life.
Now I have to ask this. Now I have to ask this on the sideline. How severe is your brother's cerebral palsy?
When he was born, he was never wheelchair bound. But when he was younger, I think he was 5 years old before he took his first step. And in those days, he had brown high top shoes with iron soles, soles that helped him with his balance. The Cerebral Palsy Association in Philadelphia, they had awesome programs even at that time. And he learned to talk it was a 78, it was called a 78 record. I remember that. And we would all sit around and listen to him try to learn to speak, like the sky is so blue and the grass is so green, to get him to learn to roll his tongue around the word.
Augmentative communication devices.
That's
there we
it.
Go.
That's it.
There we go. And that's how, and that leads me to my next question. How do you feel about augmentative communication devices to write books? Because that's how I write my book, using Apple Siri, and that's why I'm kind of having trouble finding a publisher who wants to take me on, because I am a high-functioning cerebral palsy, but yet I can't type with it on. I can speak, but I can't type a book, and I just use it as stream of consciousness, and then I send it to an editor, and it makes it all pretty. So that's how I do my books. But how do you feel about augmentative communication devices in writing books?
Well, because of my background of growing up with someone who had a handicap, and seeing how he overcame through using different devices, and my brother, my older brother, he lost his vision
on my silver tray.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you have Dragon Speaking, I think it's called. It's a software that you do speak in. Is that what you're using?
I have used Dragon. I have used Dragon Naturally Speaking. I use Apple Siri. So you seem to like the assistive technology to write these books. It just has to be trained enough to let you speak.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with using help. I mean, a lot of us, we get stuck from progressing in our life because we use our handicaps as our you know excuse to not achieve anything. There's no reason why someone cannot have a story written. You can find a partner that you can tell your story to who can do the typing for you, someone who can take dictation. There's so many different avenues of getting your story told. And I'm an advocate of helping people find a way of getting their stories told.
Yeah. Well, I now know why. Because you have been around assistive technology longer than I have because of your brother. And it's assistive technology is wonderful. And I understand, do you publish your own books? And how do you do that?
Well, I started off, just to back up a little bit, I started with the publishing company, Gladstone Publishing Services, back in 1998. And it was for the purpose of publishing my own stories that I had written over the years. But it took me until 2011 to actually publish my own book, which is Joy Comes Through the Morning. It's a story about, it's not a story actually, it's a compilation of letters and poems, letters to God, letters to my late husband. He had passed away in 2003 of cancer. And it really is all about how I wrote through the grieving process. And so I put it in a book called Joy Comes Through the Morning, MOURNING. And then I've written a children's book along with a niece who was 7 years old called Hannah and the Skating Club. And I also started the first of a number of books that I'm writing. They're fictional books based on my upbringing called Pearl, The Little Light That Shined. That's the first one. But it's the first of the String of Pearls series. And I really wanted to get my stories out there because I lived a different type of life coming up in the 50s and the 60s. I was kind of cushioned against a lot of the things that happened in the South because of where my parents raised us in Germantown, Philadelphia, as a little community in Philadelphia. And not saying that there wasn't discrimination going on, but we somehow I kind of missed a lot of it. I guess being a middle child and living in my own world and fantasy, I did writing. I didn't attend a lot of functions and things like that. I wasn't good at sports or anything like that. I was actually a columnist for our high school newspaper called, and I was Dear Gabby, where I would go around and interview people.
Dear Gabby,
so writing was, so I lived in what they call the greatest nation in the world, your imagination.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Dear Gabby, I love it. And you also have, you and I also have a personal connection, which we share now. We have two. But I think not having the backlash of what happened in the cells and all that uprising, because I'm presuming that your parents didn't want your brother to see that.
My parents, they were very young when they got married. They were very young when they had the five of us. And again, my mom, she was very industrious. She was able to find organizations and associations that helped my brother through his process. And I was also blessed that every summer I went to a camp. You know, it was a church camp, but I was able to come home each, but I was always active. Up until I was 10 years old, actually, I spent time in the country, away from the city, with a woman who raised me off and on for the first 3 years of my life because my mom had to go back to work when she had me. And I just had a wonderful experience of living with a lot of different people who influenced my life, who really helped me become who I am today. I have a wide open mind. I love the Lord. I love helping people. I have a heart for helping people focus on the stories that they need to tell. And I enjoy doing it.
You enjoy doing it. And this is why I do what I do, because to get my story out there, and I'm only 27 with cerebral palsy, and this is why we do what we do, to get our stories out there. And for those who are listening, and for those who say, well, these two women are very inspirational. I want to be just like them. What do you recommend?
Basically, I tell people come to me with a story is to focus on what story do they want to tell? What is it they want to get out there? And a lot of people who have come to me have been writing testimonies about how their life has changed because of their faith. A number of people have gone through using drugs, or have been incarcerated, or have been abused, and they really want to get their stories told. So I help them. I do have a protege program that I work with them to help them really focus. And the main thing is really focusing on their self, having a really good self-image of who they are today. So if something happened to them in the past that made them feel less than who they really are, they need to get rid of that. They need to understand they're a different person today than they had when the tragedy happened to them. I had something happen to me in my past, and I wrote that in the first book. But I have been writing about it through my diaries and through journals. I'm really an advocate of writing and writing and writing. Just write it out, and you'll find a story that you'll want to publish. You know, I call it chunking. I have composition books that I got from the dollar store. I have napkins that I had ideas that as I was sitting and eating at a restaurant where I gleaned that information and put into my first book. So just write. You don't have to have the answer right away, but just kind of really take inventory of your life and what story you want to tell.
Well, that's fascinating advice. That's fascinating advice. And with the power of self-publishing now, you can basically do anything you want. And it's with the power of the internet, Google's the best friend. My dad was teasing me today, actually, because I'm leaving small. He goes, "Where's your ticket to get on the airplane?" And I'm like, they don't do tickets. They don't do airline tickets anymore. It's all online. It's all online. They barely hand me a boarding pass. It's all online. And so that's a side note there, that with the power of self-publishing, you don't need necessarily to go with the huge traditional publisher unless you want to. You can go with yourself as a publisher, or you can go with a publishing company. There are good publishing companies out there, and for those of you who are listening and know my story by now, I'll be a 7-time published author as of June 22nd, and I'm working on the process as we speak. I just submitted to a publisher, a smaller publisher, but it's still a publisher, and I started out in the self-publishing industry at the ripe old age of 23, and then I love it, and I love the fan reaction, and I love the feedback of my books. And so for those of you that want to publish your books, come to one of us. There's many of us out there. Deborah is out there. I'm out there. We're all willing to help you. And that leads me to my last question. And my last question is, are you under your own publishing company?
Yes, I do. Gladstone Publishing, as I said, was founded in 1998. I work with self-publishers as well as publishing under my own ISBN identifier. I teach first-time writers and aspiring writers how to become their own publishing entity. Working in the self-publishing arena for the very first time is a great place to start. There have been a number of authors who have self-published their books, and then the larger publishing houses have picked them up as regular authors for their house. So self-publishing, again, if you're not quite ready to take that major step to work with a larger company, self-publishing is the way to go. There are a number of small press out there that are waiting to help. I'm one of them. You can Google self-publishing. I was listening to an earlier interview, and somebody said that that's what she does is Google. But if you Google Gladstone Publishing Services, I will come up, and there will be other self-publishing, you know, small press houses that will help you. The key to successful publishing as a self-publisher is you have to understand that you are in business for yourself. So you need to put a team together to help you market your books, set up a website or a blog so you can talk to your readers. You know, Wynn has a wonderful website. I believe it is authorwynncharles.com. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I remember that correctly.
That is in the process of getting
renovated, right?
To have it understand the way I want it mm-hmm. to attract everyone, every
right.
Tom you can say, because that's one of the things you have to do as a self-publisher. You have to market your own books.
That's exactly right. That's exactly. My blog is onesmartladyproductions.org, O-R-G. So you can visit and keep track of what I'm doing in my wonderful life. I call it a roller coaster life and not a merry-go-round life. I think it was the movie Parents or something like that, where the older woman was telling her granddaughter that to look at life is so much better to be on a roller coaster rather than a merry-go-round where you just go round and round and round. The ups and downs in our lives really make us who we are. If we survive the hardships and the hard times, we just become stronger. And that's what I love, is working with people who have gone through the hard times, and now they want to write about it.
Well, that sounds fascinating. That sounds fascinating. And I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your story and you helping me and you helping all of us.
Well, I appreciate having this opportunity to talk to you. I'm just really flattered. I've been listening to your show, and I will continue to listen. I'm actually following you.
Thank you. And I hope you enjoyed another terrific episode of Women of Wisdom, which will get picked back up in June. And I hope that you guys follow it.